Ce podcast métal est une présentation de La Cordonnerie chez Jerry, Melody Musicraft, la boutique Brouhaha, la chaîne YouTube Horreur FM, la brasserie artisanale À la dérive et le fanzine Crypt of Dr. Gore. Bon podcast! Welcome everyone. Good day, good night, or good whatever. Esti là. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome to Metal Minded. Sometimes we're a little funny, sometimes a little drunk, but something is sure to happen all the time. We are live and we keep it metal.
Yeah.
Okay. And tonight I got a little intro for you guys. If there's something crawling in your neighborhood. If there's something weird and it don't look good, who are you going to call? Fumigation!
Huh?
I heard they ain't afraid of no bugs. But if you're all alone, pick up your phone and start structural extermination.
Wow.
Okay. That was not bad, eh? Okay. Enough with the 80s pop music poetry there. And let's talk what kind of service these guys offer. I'll just say a few words from online reviews because they describe it perfectly. A chugging death metal monster venturing into the melodic territories with some powerful beastie vocals. Some other guy says, this album offers a savage assault of brutal death metal in the likes of Suffocation with some slower breakdowns that almost approach slam to instantly exterminate all rodents and insects in the listener's home when the album is played due to its heaviness and odd lyrical theme.
That's right.
There we go. That's not bad.
There you go. That's pretty fucking cool.
I forgot to change your name, guys. You're still called Chris, but I'm going to change it to...
Fumigation.
Fumigation. So while I do that, here we go. Starts first. Yelen. Well,
yes.
First off, Fumigation, welcome.
Yes.
Thank
you.
Nice to have
you guys.
Yes. We're label buddies. I like it.
That's right.
Hold on, CDN Records. So, but I'm scared.
Craig, CDN.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot to send him a message. I was like, he could have, hype the thing up a bit more even.
But I tagged him. He shared the story.
Yeah, you shared it? Okay, you shared it. Okay, I forgot. I totally forgot to talk about him. But if you're listening, Craig, hey, we like you. We love you.
Okay. On Metal Minded, we do this.
Yeah, we do this. Touch tips. Anyways, okay.
Oh, okay. All
yeah.
Right.
And sometimes when there's
the
a lot of...
Off and touch tips over here.
Eh?
We'll wait till the camera's off and then we'll...
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay.
When there's a lot of love, there's a little bit of this too, like the tips touch,
little
but you also like
they rub.
Yeah, they ils frottent un peu. Anyways, yes. Okay, so yeah, like, what are you drinking tonight?
Okay, so well, obviously we have some of our friends from the Ottawa Gets No Scene here with Fumigation, and what better way to celebrate the Ottawa scene with a beer from a brewery in Ottawa. So today I have a dry hopped saison from Flora Hall, which is a great microbrewery. I freaking love their products. So I can't wait to open this up. It's supposed to be super crisp, super fresh. So that's how I'm going to start my evening with you guys. Let's go and do a round table. Let's go first with you guys. What are you consuming tonight?
Tonight, I did, since we're the Buy Local gang, I did go out to Beyond the Pale.
Yes.
Nice. This is a brewery that I think they're popular enough. I'm a big fan. I was introduced by a member of a different band. And actually, the brewery itself is right next to our jam space. Not the Fumigation, but... the other band. So it's quite convenient. Every time I walk in there, man, they've got something interesting. They treat you like family. They've got lots of things to suggest to you. A lot of high alcohol content beers, which personally I'm a big fan. Today I've got the Aromatherapy from Beyond the Pale. It's one of the most popular, I think, beers that they sell, and also the Clean Cut, which is quite nice.
Very, very nice. What are you consuming?
So I'm not a craft beer guy, or really a beer guy, period. But I have some Ironworks Black Rum from Nova Scotia Distillery. Nice. It's very quite excellent. And nothing much else to say about that. Just good rum. I'm a rum guy, whiskey guy.
Here we go. Perfect. That sounds good. Well, I saw the picture you posted online, so obviously I knew you were going to be drinking some strong stuff tonight.
That's right. That's right.
Simon, what are you consuming tonight?
Same thing. I'm in the same... I'm just going to put my glass here. I've changed my setup and my beer is super far. Okay, here we go. Just a little Mad Tom from Muskoka Brewery.
Muskoka.
So a little West Coast IPA. That I think I never actually tasted that beer. I think it's going to be my first time.
There you go. They're distributed everywhere now. Them, they have a big distribution. I think they're with Labatt or Molson, something like that. So they're distributed like all around now, like even on the Quebec side. So, anyways, since we're done with that, let's go around and what have you guys been listening to, watching, playing, reading? What's been tickling your fancy these days? And we'll start with Simo.
Yep.
What have you been consuming media wise?
Did listen to a lot of metal this week, but I'll like to talk about three that I really liked. Okay. The latest from Extinction AD. Culture of fucking autocorrect said existence, but it was violence. Culture of violence. I almost said culture of existence. Wow. Anyways, that was weird. But it's just, you know, old school hardcore that's worshiping Testament and Pantera. So
nice.
I'm a sucker for that. So, you know, nothing new, nothing special. It was just a good album, you know. So if you like hardcore, you like Pantera, you like Testament, guys, listen to it. My good friends from Chemicide just dropped a fucking bomb.
I'll be talking about it this week.
No, like I'm a fan of their stuff. You know, we played a, what is it, 3 days?
The mini 3 day tour. That was so much fucking fun.
Yeah, we did the Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. It was pretty fun. Yeah. They're from Costa Rica. And I decided that now they officially do angry thrash metal. Because they're very angry on this one. God damn, it sounds good.
The album starts with that song, Self-Destruct, and you're like, what the fuck am I getting into?
Yeah, exactly. It started, I'm like, I you know, I think I have all their albums. So I know what I was expecting to hear, but I didn't know they would, like, they step it up a notch. Like,
but isn't all thrash angry, though?
Yeah, it is, but, you know.
Let's call it angrier.
There's like, some of them are a bit more like party trash, you know, and stuff
pizza
like that.
Pizza and beer.
Yeah, you know, but this one is like, they're pissed. Like,
nice. You know, I'm very interested, actually. If they're from Costa Rica, as a Hispanic man, I would like to hear it.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I'll be talking about it on the review on Wednesday.
No, fantastic. For sure. Yeah,
I have a listen to their stuff. It's very good.
Sure.
Wow. Okay.
Je parle espagnol, les boys, c'est cool.
Wow. And speaking of angry, I've got an angry black metal band to finish. That's called, just the name is angry. It's Black Fucking Cancer. That's the actual name of the band. The album is called Procreate in Verse. They're from California. Fuck, that's angry. It's almost war metal, that one.
It's a little weird to say that an angry black metal band is from California.
Yeah, I know.
It just sounds weird, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so violent, you know.
So violent.
You know. Anyways, Frenchman trying to do a Californian accent. Anyways,
you suck at it.
Yeah, I suck at it. I suck at a lot of things.
I was convinced, but that's, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, thanks, man. You know, thanks for being polite.
Not from California.
I know. That's pretty much it for me, man.
Before we go on to you guys, I just want to say hi to people in the chat. Felix Valliard says he's drinking IPA from Noctem La Oscar. great beer. I love all of Nukdem's products. If you don't know their products, they always have kitties on them. There's just cats on every single one of their beers. And I think the West Coast IPA is my favorite. He's like, there's a cat skateboarding on it. So it's just funny stuff. I love it. And then Phil Extrême says, bonsoir les minders. Bonsoir à toi, Félix. J'espère que tu comprends en anglais, parce qu'à soir, on est en anglais. Félix Vallière qui pensait que l'épisode était à 4 heures. Non, les épisodes sont à 4 heures. C'est seulement quand on est avec des gens de la France. Donc, c'est ça. So anyways.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry, English only. Je m'excuse, mon ami.
There you go. See, it's not English only. You knew more than the words you were saying at the beginning.
Yeah, a little
bit. So, let's continue the round table. Let's start with you, Chris. What's been tickling your fancy?
I've been playing the new Immolation a bit.
Okay.
I love Immolation. Like, I'm a big, big fan. Like, any CD they come out with, like, I like. Like, I can play anyone at any time, and it's good. Obviously, the only thing with Immolation, right, it's like kind of the same always, right? Like, they have a style and they stick to it, right?
But that was my problem with the album. Like, I listened to it, I reviewed it, and I was like, I'm bored.
But like, there's never a bad one though. So like, that's the only thing. If you ever want more, like, you're not gonna get it. Like, you just kind of have to accept like Immolation new stuff is gonna be just what you know, right?
Exactly.
Besides that, I kind of just discovered a new band. They might have been on Metal Minded like review show or something. Purity and Perversion or Perversion of Purity.
Yeah, we've had them on the show. The young guys really love them.
I think
they still have the CD around. No, probably put it away. I have too many.
But yeah, like, they just like fucking hit you, man. Like, it's good stuff. It's like visceral disgorge kind of style. That's what I thought right away. It's just slammy, brutal in your face. Like, really good shit. Really good.
Really, really fun dudes too. We had an excellent episode with those guys. It was super fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for me recently.
Perfect. And then Vito, what have you been listening to or watching or reading or gaming?
Oh boy, so much to tell. I think, you know, music wise I don't want to be on the fucking Immolation too much. I'm a fanboy. I met them when they came through Ottawa, and they're just fucking fantastic guys. I was able to speak with Ross real quick. I was able to take a photo with Rob as well. And I have to say, I mean, it was kind of fucking crazy just because of the fact that, me and Chris both sort of grew up with that band. Very cool. Very, very fucking cool. I did listen to the new one. Yes, I thought it was good. But lately, you know, I've been on the new Hath.
Holy fuck.
Jesus fucking Christ. And Venom Prison put out a really interesting one as well, which I've been on for a little bit. Music wise, it hasn't been a big week. I've been working on music and just sort of fucking trying to get the chops up and that kind of thing. Sometimes you focus on different things, but those two. Some old shit. I've been fucking revisiting some of like 1994, 1995 In Flames shit.
Ooh, good
sort
stuff.
Of like the more black metal sounding stuff. Yeah. And I was kind of listening to that on the way to Chris's house tonight. So this is what I've been into. Reading wise, I'm into Mike Tyson, The Undisputed Truth.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Big fucking book. Interesting book, especially if you're into boxing. Especially if you're into Mike Tyson, which I happen to be. Hell of a character, you know, lots of good fucking stories in there. I would recommend that one. And gaming wise, you know, I'm a bit of a fucking, you know, I've got the kids and all that, right? So we play a lot of Smash Bros and fucking Mario Kart and stuff like that. It's good fun. I'm revisiting some old Final Fantasy catalog. I'm playing Final Fantasy IX. If you know what that is, you know,
you're a big
fucking nerd like me.
If I would flip my camera and you'd see on the other side of me, you'd understand that I know everything you're talking about.
Oh, dude, that's outstanding. So, I mean, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. TV-wise, you know, I kind of pop in and out. You know, the wife watches TV. I'm not much of a TV guy. I'm a bit of a fucking, you know, more of a gamer and guitarist and all that kind of thing. So, yeah.
There you go. Perfect. On my end, well, I started a new job this week, so my schedule was all off whack. I had to get my bearings straight, so I didn't listen to as much music as I usually do. I strictly got down and listened to like the review stuff that I do, but nothing more. Two bands that I can note that I listened to a little bit. A band called Unfair Fate. I shared it on the Metal Minded group. They're trashy death with a melodic side. So it was pretty interesting. Young guys, three dudes. It's their second album. I really got into it. They're from Sweden.
Okay, yeah. So okay.
So it's really fun stuff. Really, I had a lot of fun. I listened to it twice this week. So I think their album came out at the beginning of March. So really new stuff. And then it's funny because right before the podcast, Vito, you were telling me that you like recently got into those older bands, right? Like Iron Maiden, yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I listened to this band called Stray Gods, and they don't hide it. They love Iron Maiden, and they make Iron Maiden flavored music. Even on their Bandcamp, it's written for fans of Iron Maiden. That's it. It's just like Iron Maiden worship. It's good stuff. Nothing new here, but really well executed. Vocals on point. Everything is on point. And they're also British. So obviously, right? So fun stuff if you're an Iron Maiden fan. And I had fun. I'm not the hugest Iron Maiden fan, and I had fun with this album. So other than that, for the first time in, I guess, more than 2 years since the pandemic started, I had friends over for 3 days in a row. I saw people 3 days in a row. That, to me, is amazing.
Slow down, man.
That was fucking fun. I had people over on Thursday, on Friday, and last night. And honestly, it was just... It felt great. It like recharged my social batteries. Like some people were like, oh, we should game. I'm like, no, I don't want to game online. I want to see people now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
yeah. It was just like a bunch of music playing. So I listened to a bunch of different stuff, just playlists and YouTube, just clicking on videos. Anyways, it was just a blast. We played board games. We played cards. We just drank and had fun. And
it's good for the soul, man. Like you need to see people.
And exactly.
Not, like, yeah, you go to work and you see people. It's not the same. You need to see people who you're like, who you want to talk to, right? Like, you just need to chill, yep. See people, like, laugh and, like, you know.
Exactly. It felt amazing. And it was really nice because I got to see one of my childhood friends who I haven't seen in a while because he had left and he was living with his wife. And it was a whack story. She didn't let him live, like, at all. No. And I hadn't seen him in 10 years almost, and he came over last night and we talked. I think he left, it was like 1 a.m so it was pretty fucking fun. So yeah, recharged my social batteries. Didn't watch many movies either. It was just, it was a crazy week with the new job and everything. So that's pretty much it for me for this week. And yeah, let's get on with the interview, guys. So my first question is always pretty much the same thing. Let's talk about the band. So Fumigation, who are you guys? What are you guys? And since when have you existed?
Well, we are your death metal pest control specialists. like the whole theme of the band is, you know, based around pest control and insects and chemicals. And like, yeah, just like the life of an exterminator, basically. Vito actually kind of came up with the whole idea of the band and like the name and everything. So like, I don't know. You want to kind of talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, we were doing something not too different from what we're doing right now, and it was just a fucking few of us sitting around in a bar in downtown Ottawa, and Chris, he just happened to, you know, he had sort of come upon this career in pest control. Chris had started working, I don't remember where it was exactly, not that it matters, but...
Just like a month into it.
It was about a month into it, and we were fucking, you know, just drinking beers and talking shit, just like we're doing right now. I came out with, you know, we were, I guess, none of us were really doing anything music-wise at the time. Said Chris, you know, you should fucking start like a pest control theme band. And I said to him, and it should be called Fumigation, and it should be just fucking nothing but just exterminating pests. And I mean, it was... look, it seemed trivial at the time, but you can see like this, the discography is up there. You can't see it too good on the camera, but I mean, you know, it's two full length and a split. And plus we did the Arnaut 5.7 EP right at the start of the COVID there, which is a lot of fucking fun. You know, we were all separate. It was a new thing for us to be doing, but you know, I thought that came out pretty good. In any case, you know, Chris started it up and he went out and he fucking did it. And not only did he do it, but I think we're probably about 14, 15 years into it now, and it's still going and it's going strong, which is a hell of a thing, right? Yeah. So, I like telling that story because of the fact that it's been such a longstanding thing. And, you know, I kind of just pulled the idea out of my ass, but
it's a great concept. People remember you guys for that crazy fucking concept. That it's just a pest control death metal band, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been bands called like Wasp and stuff, right? But they didn't actually like have a theme, really. Like,
yeah,
no one's actually gone through with it.
It was a drunken idea, yeah. But I think the execution was truly excellent.
Just the uniforms with the name of the band on it, the ones you're wearing right now, it's just good stuff. You don't see death metal bands with like a uniform.
I mean, sometimes you do, you know, they might go up there all in black, or, you know, you see some of that, but certainly not like a blue collar fucking down the street, call us up if you need pest control kind of deal.
So anyways, you guys obviously put out a new album this year, Structural Extermination. Let's talk about that album first. Obviously, you released it during the pandemic still, because we're not over with that shit. So it was recorded and thought of during the pandemic. So talk about the process, the idea of this album, how it all came together. Let's just shoot the shit. What happened with this album? How did it come out?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a mix of like old and new songs. Like some, like one or two songs were written kind of shortly after IPM, like, you know, 8 years ago kind of thing.
Wow.
Like maybe the last, like Servant of the Queen, the last song, like that's probably the oldest one. That one and Moss to a Flame. Like I remember the review show, you liked Moss to a Flame a lot. Yeah, that's just like a really old song. The kind of the back half of the album is more the old stuff, and like the front half is more like the new stuff that we wrote like just before we like recorded.
So it was like let's finally get these songs through to people. It's stuff you were sitting on. Had you ever done any of those songs live though?
Yeah, actually, I don't know if it's still on YouTube, but Moth to a Flame we did once at a show, and it was actually recorded.
We did Botfly, and that was on I mean, like this is like the second iteration of Botfly. Botfly
Incision.
Yeah, Botfly Incision. So this is the second version of Botfly Incision. I remember we used to fucking play it live pretty regularly. And I think we even did it up at the Rouen when we were there, I think.
Oh, we might have.
Yeah. So it was sort of like it came in and out of the set. And we didn't change a whole heck of a lot, but you know, ultimately, I think the version that's on Structural Extermination is the definitive version of Botfly.
How did it feel for you guys to like finally release a second full length album after being so long in between those two full length albums?
Yeah, it was a long time coming for sure. Hey, like Jesus Christ,
it was like what, 9 years?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Something like that. Yeah. 2013 is when IPM came out. It's so overdue. Like that's the thing. It's just like it's so overdue. Like, yeah, it's about time. It was just like it's kind of pissing me off. It was taking so long. It's like, man, we need to get something out now. Like, this is ridiculous. And then like COVID hit. Like we were supposed to release it like 2 years ago.
Okay. Okay. So when the EP came out, you were actually supposed to release a full length album instead.
Yeah, exactly. And then we just couldn't really record right away. And we're like, well, we should do something anyways, right? Like it's been so long. So then we just kind of quickly put together the EP. I was kind of writing those songs anyways, and I knew they wouldn't really go on the full length. That was just kind of like the style of like the newer style I'm writing. So we're like, okay, well, let's just get this out anyways. And like, it's kind of weird that like the EP style is different than the full length, but I mean, like I was talking to Nick Mikulon about it from Norilsk, And he's just like, you know, don't even worry about it, man. Like, EPs are kind of meant to be different anyway. So, like, just release it. Like, who cares if it sounds different? And then, just, you know, do the full length, do whatever you guys do. So, we just kind of went ahead with it just to get something out there. And people like that one. And this one's out now. And see what people think.
Cool.
Nice. And if I can jump in here, you know, 8 years, you know, it's between the two albums or something
Nine.
Like that.
Yeah.
What's the improvements from the latest full length, you think, between the older one, let's put it this way, with the experience that you acquired in those 8 years, even though you didn't, you know, create that much albums and all that, but in your opinion? I'm going deep right away. I'm sorry.
It still keeps a death metal feel. Certainly, it's got a more modern feel to it. We're very pleased with that. IPM, I mean, you know, I wasn't a part of the band at the time. I've certainly listened the fuck out of it. I was a part of the live band, you know, before that came out. And I'm very, very, very partial to those songs. I really like a lot of them. And I've certainly been grinding a lot of them for a long time. It's a significant album for me, even though I didn't play on it. The process and the evolution and getting to Structural Extermination, I mean, because we were putting things out and because we were sort of, you know, still doing shows here and there, you know, there were learnings. I don't know necessarily that I could put, you know, into words sort of the process in between the two, but I think that the group of guys that we got together, evidently, you know, I've known Chris for a long time. I enjoy the songs. I know, you know, sort of what the fuck he's going for. And, you know, when I don't, he's very quick to put me in my place. it was kind of a unique experience. The songs were there. I mean, you know, Chris, he does absolutely all the songwriting. You know, sometimes he will ask and sort of reach out for some input, which we're always happy to give. But look, we really took advantage of, you know, I know that Chris was a little bit pressed. He wanted to get the album done. He wanted to do all these things. Me personally, because it was COVID, because, you know, we had less to do. You know, I found myself with more time on my hands. I really enjoyed the process of, you know, all I really had to do was tracking, really, but I just, it was more relaxed. It was nice and easygoing. I came down here. We did the tracks in this room, and we fucking took our time with it. Again, you know, I don't think Chris wanted to take that long, but to me, it felt nice. To me, it felt nice to be able to do that. When we got all the tracks sort of packaged up together, our friend and bandmate, Dan Rogers, you know, fucking packaged it up, and you know, he just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, the production is just top notch. Like, we haven't had production like this. Like, Dan did IPM too. He did the first full length, but this one is just like
we really took advantage of the fact that the technology is so much better and so much more accessible now than it was back then. It came out just a fantastic. It's a very clear, very crisp sounding album. You know, the songs are very fumigation, obviously, but the production itself is what really makes it pop.
I don't want to cut you off, yelling there, but you're right what you're saying. Even though it's only 8 years ago, like, recording technology, let's put it this way, was still very far from what we are right now. Like, technically, I could just sit here with a guitar and barely know how to play it, and I can make an album by myself, which is like 8 years ago. You could barely do that, but you could do it, but it would cost you like, you know, like $2,000 to get like all the softwares and whatever, you know. And now you get the, you know, a $30 audio interface with, you know, a few plugins, and you're ready to rock, you know. So,
yeah, that's one of the bigger changes, is just how we recorded it, because, we did all the guitars and bass here, and I did all the editing. Like, back in 2013, I never would have done it all on myself, right? It's just like, now the technology is here. I have more experience doing all that. So, like, it was easy. It was just more relaxing and like that. And
I think it's worth mentioning, we did the drums properly, right? Like, we were at Topon's apartment too. I wasn't there, you know, it was just the guys that needed to be there, right? Because it was still COVID and we were kind of in the fucking, you know. We were definitely in the deep of it. And, you know, you'd show up. I wasn't fucking there, but certainly it was not that people were uneasy necessarily, and I couldn't feel the vibe. But I talked to Chris afterwards, and it was kind of like, yeah, you know, it was more of a low key thing. You know, you go there and you get the job done. It's not as much, you know, not that tracking it ever is a party, but you know, when you get together with a bunch of metal guys, like,
you want to have a drink.
It's not, yeah. I mean, you might want to have a drink. If you don't drink, you don't drink. You know what I mean? But like, it's like when you walk into a metal show or you walk into a festival or something like that, it's like, these are your people, right? So it's always a good vibe. You know, I think these guys had a good time.
Yeah. Topon's so awesome, man. He's so chill and like, he's so pro and knows everything. Right. And he's not afraid to say, like, you know what, like, you think it's a perfect take. Right. And like, he's just like, you know what, I think it could be a little tighter here. He's just like, you know, do it again. And you're just like, yeah, okay, sure. Like, you just, and he's just so full of knowledge. And I probably went a little too fanboy on the guy. Like, I love Fuck the Facts and Topon, man. So like, I was just like picking his brain the whole time. He's probably pretty annoyed of me, like, at the end of the recording, but just like,
he's very patient though. He's a good fucking dude. I mean, not worked with him directly, but we've run across each other, you know, here and there. And evidently, you know, it's a guy that's well known on the scene. I've fucking known about that, or I've known about him. I've been fucking watching Fuck the Facts since, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Like, it's just, it's an institution, right? And when you run into the guy, he used to do sound over at Mavericks. Just an absolutely fucking super classy guy to work with. You know, he's got jokes, he's got whatever you want, right?
Yeah. Well, we recorded the Cruel Faith album in 2019 with the guy, and just doing vocals at his place, which is super fun. I even brought my son one time just to come and listen into what we were doing, and he just chilled there with Topon while he was recording and I was in the booth, right? So
that's a good vibe, man.
He's all my metal project. He's the only guy that recorded all the projects I did. I think I recorded like 10 times with him.
And yeah, he's such a good dude.
The thing I like the most, and it's super dumb, but whatever. And it started the first time I went there. He just makes good coffee.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Good coffee.
I knew it.
You know, he has the skills. I'm not saying what he does is, I'm not going there just for the coffee, but every time it's like a little extra. It's like, you want coffee? In my head, I'm like, yes, he asked for coffee.
Yeah.
And it's nothing fancy. It just feels great to be in that fucking place with a coffee, you know,
and that actual room there where he records is just so cool and chill, right?
Yeah,
it feels
like
good.
The 60s or 70s like style to it. Right?
I know, it feels good when you're there.
When the first time I recorded, he had done nothing to it. He was not just starting out, but kind of starting out. He didn't even have like
wall treatments and stuff.
No, not at all. I remember the walls were all like dirty and stuff. And I was tracking drums and what was used to be a bedroom, I guess, you know. And he didn't have studio monitors. He had just like 70s like old sound system speakers, but still, you know, he made it sound good. But every time I go there, I'm like, wow, man, it's so much like. Anyways, he's the sound of Ottawa, man. Like, you know,
he
so
is.
Many bands I record over there, you know. Anyways, sorry. We love you, Topon.
Yeah, exactly. We love you, Topon. So back to the album, though. On this album, it's pretty much the first time that you five guys were doing an album, because the lineup has changed a few times over the years. Many vocalists, obviously, and all that. How did it feel to have this lineup, and how confident are you with this full package lineup you have now?
This is probably the tightest lineup, because like, everyone knows each other, really.
Yeah.
Like me and Matt go back to the start of the band, right?
Exactly.
Me and Vito have known each other since high school. Like Matt and Tom know each other going back. Tom's been around a while too. And like Dan did our first album, you know, producing wise, right? So like, everyone knows each other for years and years and years. So like,
it feels good. It felt like natural type deal.
Yeah. 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 Just super chill, super tight.
Everybody was on sort of the same page. It's kind of, I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but it did really feel that way, that, you know, everybody wanted to achieve the same kind of result. It was different because we didn't really see each other all that fucking much, right? Like I said, you know, I did all the tracking in here, and, you know, we did a bunch of reamping and that, you know, Dan's a fucking wizard with that shit. And so he just fucking, you know, he got the sound nailed down to what was the absolute best for us. But I came in here, you know, we took some DIs with the guitar, which is, I mean, I guess pretty fucking nerd shit if you don't play that.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. It was just like, I saw you for like 2 or 3 days.
I came down here, I saw Chris, and it was fucking, you know, we got most of it done. Then we had some burgers and then we tried to do it again because we had like a little bit of shit left over to do. And then I got sick and I was like, well, I don't think I have COVID, but fucking, I probably shouldn't come over. And then I think, you know, Chris was sick at one point. And so it was just, it was different. It was a different, mm-hmm. not what you like pre-COVID, evidently, you know, you have your idea of what it is to record an album. It didn't feel like that, but it felt good.
Yeah. Well, it was a different experience. And obviously everyone lived it for the past 2 years. Everyone was doing things differently. Yeah. Going back on the album, Cedric on YouTube is asking, are you guys going to put out vinyls for this latest album?
Probably not. That's more up to CDN and Craig anyways, though. He said he might do tapes, though.
That'd be cool.
So we might do tapes eventually. We're going to kind of put feelers out eventually, see like if there's any interest. Probably not the vinyl just because it's so, so expensive for them. Mm-hmm. But maybe tapes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, speaking of CDN, that was my next question. I just wanted to see what was the story with, you know, the partnership with CDN, actually. Because did you guys do the... I didn't do my research enough, I guess. But you've been on CDN for how long? Was it just the latest album, or...?
No.
IPM was also on CDN.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So we actually, so we recorded, released IPM self-titled, on our own independent first. But I was kind of shopping us around it right away anyways, and Craig got back to us right away, and then we kind of re-released it, I guess, through CDN 6 months or a year later. So yeah, we've been with them the whole time.
Nice.
They're the only label we've known. They're their family.
There you go.
Yeah. Cool. Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's go sideways with this next question, but obviously you guys are musicians and you've been in a bunch of bands. Do you have any other active projects right now other than Fumigation?
I mean, I don't know how much you want me to get into it, but
Go for it.
I do guitars at Whispers in the Maze, which is an Ottawa band.
Yep.
I sort of referenced earlier when we were talking about La Brasserie, Beyond the Pale.
Yeah.
And so this is it. We jam in the same sort of building, which is very nice because I could get nice beer when I want to. We're doing an album right now. It's coming out fucking fantastic. I can't show you anything from that, but you can check out the first EP, which is called Threads Unbind. Mm-hmm. There's a lyric video online. We have a number of live videos. So it's Whispers in the Maze. It's a melodic death metal with a little bit of a modern sort of feel to it.
Yep.
Check that out. We've actually got a show on April 18th. And the show is with Power Glove and Immortal Guardian. Mm-hmm. Power Glove being a band I've followed for quite a while, as I do enjoy playing the video games.
Yeah, Power Glove. They're some of their videos are so fucking funny too. Man.
Hilarious. So we're looking forward to that, man. Outside of Whispers in the Maze, I have one more project. I'm going to talk about it. There's, you know, you can listen to one song. We're really working hard on getting the album out. This is a symphonic metal project. It's called Nerthal.
Okay.
And you can listen to Below the Blighted Tree on YouTube, which is a fucking fantastic production on that song. It's just a single. This is before the current band was involved, but it features the drummer from Augury on the drums.
Nice. Very sexy.
So we're working on getting that out. You know, I don't have a date for you, and it's challenging music. It's symphonic, and, you know, a lot of it's very fast. So we've been sort of grinding on that.
Cool.
And then Matt and Tom are in Signs of Chaos.
Yeah.
They're kind of do like session live shows with Norilsk as well.
Yep.
Dan was with Deformatory most recently.
Yes.
I did a session bass for Spilling Entrails, a slam band on CDN Records about a year or two ago, I guess, but nothing like current going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's about it for everyone.
The Formatory is fucking fantastic.
Like, yeah,
they're the Ottawa scene. Let's just say it like this: the Ottawa scene is pretty incestuous at this point, right? Oh, everyone's in everyone's bands.
It's always been. It's always been. I find. I mean, more so now. But you know, I've been fucking doing this on and off for about 20 years, I think now, and everybody kind of knows everybody. You know, guys. There's certainly some guys like. Ben, shout out to Ben. He's probably listening.
Yeah, he's probably listening. He's been on the podcast. Everybody talking on YouTube.
Everybody knows fucking Ben. So yeah. You know, shout out. He's fucking wicked. Just an absolute monster of a bassist and a great guy. Just a wicked guy to know. If you know him, you're fucking lucky.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. So I'd like to address the elephant in the room because when we're speaking fumigation. We have to talk about the memes of fumigation.
Oh God!
Okay, so okay. First, there's so much to talk about.
I hope you saved a few because I wanna.
You know what? I did not because they're all good. They're all fucking good. So I didn't know which.
By the way, Ben just said hey in chat. So yeah, he was listening in the background. Yeah, he was hiding and not saying anything. There.
You know what? Before you get into it, like that's part of the reason why I wanted to get the CD out so badly is because we kind of turned into a meme page for a while. And that's all we were doing, right? Yeah, so it's just like we need some fucking music out there because all people think is we're a meme page now.
Yeah, so. But okay, first thing. The idea of the memes, tell me all about it. How did it start to start with? Like,
kind of like how the band started, just a bunch of boys sitting around drinking and just like, hey, let's put some stupid memes out there.
It's kind of how the band started. It was all me, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. Well, hold on. who's creating the memes? Is it like all of you guys or it's like one guy?
You know. Me, Vito, and a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, interesting.
There's a ghostwriter.
I think it's significant that, you know, we should talk about it. It's significant enough we should talk about it, actually, because Scott was one of the original vocalists of Fumigation.
Yeah.
Okay.
The voice of Fumigation for a long time.
Scott, so he's the OG vocalist. He's on, like, the demo we did, like, back in 2009. So, yeah, like, all three of us went to high school together and everything. Okay. So, yeah. So the three of us do all the memes as well. And we're like the OGs, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we kind of just sort of bounce shit off each other. It's not like a fucking easy thing to do, right? Like, we're not comedy writers.
No.
And we kind of talk about, like, hey, is this funny? Is this funny? Like, yeah, you know, I fucking think so. And then, you know, we might think something is absolutely hilarious and we post it up and they'll fucking...
5 likes.
And it'll do, like, super poorly, right? So, I mean, but it's nice because it's consistent, right? I don't think we've ever missed a week since the fucking thing started.
Not much, Fumigation Friday. Fumigation Fridays.
Love it or hate it, you know, we're fucking here.
Well, you know, I personally love them. I really like that there's an actual creative process in those memes that you guys actually like send them to each other. Wow, yeah, okay. Exactly. I really like that.
It reminds me of the other band that we had that also do great memes there. Necrotic Gorbies.
Yeah, yes. Necrotic Gorbies. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have a great TikTok, man. Yeah. Their TikTok page is amazing.
Yeah, they do TikToks that I was surprised to see them on TikTok.
And they're heavy as shit, too. Though.
They're heavy as shit. Their album is fucking good. Love that shit.
Yeah. What's the other thing? Yeah, okay. So you just started for fun, but it actually kind of, tell me if I'm wrong, but it kind of helped you guys to keep your page active while you guys were especially during COVID time and stuff like that.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, if we're not recording or playing shows, like, what the hell are you going to present to the people, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it just kept us going. That's kind of like one of the main reasons, actually. It's just like, how do we just like kind of stay relevant without just everyone forgetting about us?
It's like, not to get super philosophical with it, but I mean, I find the way it is now, like, if you're not in everybody's face all the time, you know, it's very quick for people to forget about you. Yeah. Fucking, you know, it's content. It's just content all the time.
Well, I'm in that game too, right? With Metal Minded, you need content, constant content.
It's like,
so it's fucking... the posts, it's the stories, it's just nonstop. Because if you don't do that, your page will die, and people do forget about your stuff, you know, right?
I can't comment on whether or not I think like we're really doing a good job. I think fucking, you know, we're certainly putting some effort into it, but. As a band that's like a fucking independent sort of, you know, evidently we're a label band, which is a very fucking powerful and nice thing to be. But, you know, ultimately, you know, it kind of falls back on what are you putting out? And, you know, obviously, yeah, we want to put out music regularly. We do our best to do that. You know, I think we're fairly consistent, you know, as of late, right? Mm-hmm. And we did have the pandemic EP, which is cool. But it's not enough. And it's also not enough to just sort of every week or, you know, every couple of days say, hey, fucking, you know, check out our band and check out this fucking song. Like, we wanted to change it up a little bit. And
yeah, you can only do that so much, right? Like
it gets annoying. Yeah. Like it gets exactly. fucking annoying. And, you know, we just decided to try and get a little bit more creative about it. Yeah. You know, certainly not the first to do it, but.
Even just the last post, like, hey, it's been a month since we released an album. Like, have you heard it yet? Like, yeah. Like we hate doing that kind of stuff.
Like, you don't want to you don't want to fucking spam people, right? But, you know, you want
to
keep
you sort of have to do it, but there's ways to do it, right?
Well, you need to find a creative way so it doesn't look like spam and it doesn't look annoying. And I think you guys excel at it. You guys are up there. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, that cameo thing... That cameo thing was pretty good too.
Yeah.
The guy from Black Dahlia Murder there. I was like, because at first, you know, on my Facebook, it starts playing, but there's no sound. I'm like, oh shit, okay, like fucking guys, like, you know, hyping their albums, like, good for them, you know? And then I'm like, okay, well, I'll listen to it. And I listened to it. I was like, oh, okay, those fucking.
Yeah, guys, just fake you out. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if everyone listened to it just because it was like, it kind of looked like a PR thing, right? But we did it on purpose. But like, then you actually watch it. He's like, oh, it's like a roast.
That was perfect. He's like, don't listen. And plus, they're Canadian. Yeah. Hey, that's fucking perfect. I had it on my nose. Like,
what was it like? Metalhead was like thumbs up, like fumigation, thumbs down, right?
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just fits so much with what you guys do because sometimes you'll make kind of fun of yourselves in a way in some post to it.
Oh, 100%.
It just fit perfect, you know? I liked it very much. I liked it.
Yeah, like we don't like, we take the music serious. Like we try to make the albums and the music super, super good, but like everything else, like the theme is a joke, right? Like the lyrics are jokey. Like, so everything else is like we're having fun and that's what we hope like people recognize, right? But then you listen to it, it's like, well, okay, this is actually legit music. So.
I had one question about a certain song on the album, which you've used the term more than once. It's like the second or third time you've used it. What is Vanier Shack?
Oh my God. God. I'm so glad you asked.
I'm glad Yelena is asking too, because I was wondering what it was.
Because it's the third time you use the term, right? It's the third song with the word Vanier Shack on it.
Second?
Okay. Yeah. But you've re-recorded the first one on a second album, right? I think it was on the demo and then it was on the album.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Look at you, Lailis. Oh, I did my research. So I'm in the new
group. I always do my fucking research.
At this point.
The Vanier Shack Roach Motel is a real place.
Okay.
And it was a real place where Chris and former vocalist Scott used to live. And I used to fucking live there, you know, but I'd be there from Friday, from Friday to basically Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it was just so stereotypically your fucking
it was Vanier.
Shitbag apartment. Like, yeah. I don't know how much, you know, Vanier, it's kind of a shitbag neighborhood. And look, I love Vanier. I lived there, you know, after, you know, for a while, and I thought that it was a cool place to be. Certainly it's improved a lot. Look, I'm not trying to trash you if you're from Vanier. I fucking, you know, if I can hang out there, I do. Like, don't take this as a negative thing. We're just making fun of shit, right? Because that's kind of the thing that we do. So now that that's out of the way, you know, like, fucking dude, it was a cast of characters in that place. You'd walk up and, you know, I hadn't been maintained very well. Yes, there were roaches. Absolutely, there were roaches. and we just, we fucking, you know, I didn't come up with the lyrics and I don't remember who did, but that was a typical day at the place. You know, you'd fucking, you know, sort of wake up. You don't feel great because you've been drinking a lot of fucking beers and, you know, your buds are still passed out and you go to take a fucking piss and there's a roach in the corner of the room. And then you just take your piss and you're like, you know, you're not really upset by it because it's a normal occurrence.
Wow.
And then, this is going back to like our early 20s, right? This is like kind of our first apartment kind of thing. Like, 1920, I think we were. So like, this is like way before fumigation started, way before I was in pest control. Like,
I think, you know, this is
party time,
man. Certainly at the time that the song was written, the album came out, it was a memory. It was not everyday life.
And then how did it come to have a second version, another Venue Shack on this new album?
So the new version is just kind of like more so me at work and having to deal with tenants like who live in Venue. It's kind of like going back to the Venue Shack itself, but this time I'm at work and then I'm killing the roaches instead of living there with the roaches, right?
All right, that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Oh, I like
I mean, Venue Shack kind of became a bit of a popular concept because when we were at the live shows, and I, you know, whether or not I was playing with a band I'd come out and see regularly, you'd introduce the song and you'd sort of ask, who's from Vanya here? And evidently, you know, you would get a response from that every single fucking time. You'd get a response from that because everybody knows the neighborhood. And it became a bit of a popular song. It became a bit of a popular sort of routine for us.
Yeah, we always close with
for it, fumigation. Right? And I mean, look, I didn't write the riff, but it's a fucking good riff.
It is.
It's fucking dirty.
Shout out to Steph from Insurrection. He said at one point it was one of the dirtiest riffs of Ottawa.
It's very dirty.
I don't know when he said it. It was a long time ago. I don't know if he still thinks it, but I'm just going to assume he does. So what up, Steph?
Nice. go for it.
Well, finish this is story. It. I mean, it became a fucking thing. And I kind of said to Chris, well, look, you know, I think we should kind of throw that in there in a new one and in some way, shape, or form.
At this point, you need to have a Venue Shack song on every single one of your releases. Well, this
is it. Yeah. It's like the Unforgiven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to open my second beer for tonight. And it's Totem. It's just, it has like this is a brand new brewery. They brew at the microbrasserie L'Ours Brun. And they don't have an actual physical brewery yet. So they brew at another brew place. The beer has no actual name. It's just IPA. So brand new stuff. I received it at my job. And I'm going to try this out. And shout out to people in chat saying what they're drinking. And I love the way Felix wrote his sentence. He went full franglais in his sentence. I'll say it exactly like he wrote it. Okay. He said, I open ma deuxième bière, the Unsinkable Sam, une double IPA from Noctem. So that's full French and English all the way, and I love it that way. Cédric Lavoie said, cheers, boys. He's drinking a Ping Pong by Pixel. I love that brewery. Nice. I love their brand.
Man, you guys, you know, like you really know your stuff. I mean, look, I like beer and all that. Puis j'apprécie ça, le vrai franglais, parce que... Moi, c'est ma troisième langue. So, c'était comme, écoute, probablement plus facile d'apprendre qu'une personne qui connaît seulement une langue parce que that part of your brain is developed already, right?
Yep.
Mais l'affaire, c'est que ici, là, c'est plus flexible. So, si jamais j'oublie un mot ou quelque chose, I can always say it in English.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But people don't mind. So, it's nice, man. I fucking love it. That's kind of my thing.
And you have a good French anyways. Everyone here understands you fully. Yeah. That's
appreciate
fun.
Appreciate.
And by the way, before Chris returns, for people that are in the chat, some of them are all around Quebec. So they don't know what Venue is. I'll explain quickly.
So just our neighborhood that is between comme Centreville puis ce qu'on appelle the East End. So the East End, You're at downtown, you start traveling east, you're going to hit Vanier pretty quick, and then there's the river, and then you cross the river on a bridge, and then Vanier is after the river, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Vanier ends. Vanier doesn't have like a clearly defined boundary, I don't think.
No.
And so you're immediately east of downtown. That's a Vanier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a few sketchy roads on there. There's some
nice
neighborhoods, but there's a few sketchy places that's why all the jokes from Venue comes from.
Yeah. So you got your MacArthur, you got your Donald Street, you got your MacArthur.
Yep.
I used to live off La Fontaine and
way
We had some characters there.
Just Richelieu. Richelieu.
So I think Chris can tell you a little bit about Richelieu. because I think Chris kind of worked there a little bit there on and off. Yeah. But me, I'm going to hit the bathroom real quick.
Yeah, all good. All good. Yeah, well, there's a little portion of Montreal Road that used to be sketchy. I don't know if it still is. But, you know, there's all those contracts and stuff like that. Sure. It's still kitschy. But all the neighborhoods around are nice.
It's funny because Felix in chat says, il y a le quartier Vanier, Quebec. So there's a Vanier area in Quebec. So Vanier.
Is that sketchy there too or what?
I don't think it's sketchy.
No, it's a little nicer there. Okay. What about in Gatineau? Is there a Vanier Road or anything in Gatineau? Or?
Back in the day, there used to be the Notre Dame Road there. That was pretty sketchy.
Yeah, that was our Vanier version.
Yeah. There's in Gatineau, like not Hall or anything. Gatineau. I got to say, the neighborhood in the back of the Pigalle, the back of the Pigalle there is 50-50, you know, depending on the, could get sketch.
There's a great road there. It's called La Rue Lafrenière.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my last name. Yeah, great. So, <road. laughs>
I don't even know if I want to say what Ben said.
What Ben said in chat.
I'm going to say it. I don't care. If you need crack or hooker in Ottawa, you go to
Vanier.
Yeah. He's not, one not small wrong. Little portion of Vanier.
Not wrong, man.
All the rest is nice people. And there's a bridgehead in Vanier. I like Bridgehead.
So for
people in Quebec, Bridgehead. it's kind of like a second cup or a Starbucks, but just a
but that's better. Like closer to Rockcliffe, which is like millionaire, super nice area, right?
So yeah, you're right.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, it got no boy. Trying to pretend he's from Ottawa there.
Yeah, he's trying to pretend he knows his shit. He knows nothing.
Yeah, I know nothing. And I'm a drummer on top of that, like the worst kind of musician you can get, right? I've read in Chris, I read in an interview that Cannibal Corpse was your gateway to, like, not gateway, but your entrance into the metal scene. Let's put it this way.
Gateway was a perfect word.
Gateway was the good word. Okay,
come on. It was a more gateway to death metal for sure. Yeah, as far as metal goes, probably like Deftones, Korn, that kind of stuff, and like the
So we're in the same camp there.
Okay.
So that, like, mid-90s, like new metal kind of thing, kind of got me into metal.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Yes sir.
Same.
And then Slayer, I guess, after that, for the first real metal, whatever you want to say.
And
then I heard Cannibal Corpse, and that like opened up like death metal, and then from there the underground and extreme stuff, right?
Yeah. So what album listen to first?
It was like the Bleeding and Bloodthirsty were my kind of two main ones back then.
Okay. You still listen to those albums, I guess, once in a while. Does it bring any like memories or emotions, that those albums bring back once you listen to them? Like,
not as much as like maybe like grunge albums, right? Like I was big into Nirvana and Silverchair and like Alice in Chains before.
Okay.
Like, but Cannibal Corpse is more just like, it's always angry and stuff. Like, I guess it brings more like, because we used to watch like videos of Cannibal Corpse and just be like, it's like back then, like we all kind of thought like they're super technical and crazy, right? We'd see videos of them like tapping with their picks and stuff.
Cannibalism.
Yeah. Like it blew our minds. And now years later you watch them and it's like, well, it's nothing special, right? Because then you get into like Spawn of Possession and crazy tech bands like that. And then you look at like any band today, they're just like crazy, right? Compared to Cannibal Corpse back then. But that's kind of the main thing, is just like the nostalgia factor of being one of the early ones and just like thinking they were like so, so crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you mentioned grunge, so I did have a question on that. Obviously I creeped your social medias a little bit. And
Simon's a creep.
Yeah, I'm a creep.
Looks like one, for sure.
You did the 10 days, 10 albums in a day, whatever. And both of you guys on day one had the same album, Silverchair Frog Stomp.
What's the link between that's just like the perfect
talk to me about
year
it.
And like, what was it, 94 came out, so I was like 12 years old, so like right around, well, for me anyways, and a lot of people right around that time you hit 12 years old, like that's kind of when music opens up and it just kind of hits you, right? So for whatever reason, like that album in particular hit me. Like,
it was heavy as fuck back
then, too. Yeah, like back then, man. Like,
Silverchair's early albums are all fucking crazy. It turned to shit in the 2000s there, but I mean, it became Coldplay number two. I don't know if you guys listen to their shit, but that's what it sounds like. But I mean, those albums, like, oh my God, those were crazy stuff, man.
Yeah.
The first single was our age too, right? They're like 15 making frog stuff. Yeah. It's nuts. Yeah. Well, so that was kind of part of it too, because you listen to it, it's like, man, these guys are only a few years older. Like, I could do this shit too, right? Like,
They were actually my age. Like, they were like a year older than me. I was like, wow, okay, they're like up there, you know. So it's you listen to them and like, okay, it's possible, you know what I mean? So as a kid, it's like, for sure. Fuck. Okay, and since we're talking about that list, West Side Connection, Bow Down.
That's right.
Talk to me about that. I was surprised to see that.
Just good old gangster hip hop, right from the 90s. Like, we're all kind of hip hop heads, man. Like,
we don't really
like announce it all the time, but like, it's just good stuff, man. Like Wu-Tang, like Nas, like Tupac, Dead Prez, like whatever, man. Like all that like 90s shit.
Well, the song Hip Hop by Dead Prez is still to this day underrated in my opinion.
Yeah, 100% one of the best. Yeah.
Every time that song starts, I'm like, imagine, man. You put that one.
And actually, I listened to Talib Kweli back in the day too, and he has a really good podcast on Uprux video or whatever it's called.
Oh, okay.
And he just like interviews a lot of good like hip hop heads and stuff. So
okay.
Yeah, anyone into hip hop, man, check out Talib Kweli's podcast.
Nice. Sure. Good to know. I never got the hip hop vibe. I was raised in rock and roll, right? My parents were rockers and they played music so hip hop never connected with me. Like early days, I was into Scorpions when I was a kid. So it was all rock and metal my entire life. So I never, like, I think the only rapper that I connected with was like Eminem at one point. I'm so white.
Stop being so white. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but like honestly, he was the only one that I actually had an album by. But I mean, I never clicked in the hip hop scene or anything. Yeah. So
Well, I think part of it is just kind of like how New York was close, right? Just kind of like us getting into the metal scene, like everything coming out of Montreal, right? Like Cryptopsy, Beneath the Massacre, Martyr, like whatever back in the day, right? Like just because we're in proximity, close, like we kind of got into that and. You know, New York hip hop scene in the 90s, man. Like all those.
Yeah. It was big, man. I think, you know, I mean, we kind of fucking grew up side by side. And we'd fucking go to school and, you know, there'd be a bunch of fucking guys, you know, wearing FUBU and, you know, having some fucking Timberlands and, you know, their pants around their ankles and all that stuff. That was like a very stereotypical sort of, you know, back then hip hop style, but it was so pervasive. And, I think, you know, you could fucking count the metal heads on your two hands that were around back then that we kind of knew of, right? So, you know, you're like, you know, you don't fucking necessarily want to get into it because you're like, yeah, fuck you, I'm metal, right? But eventually you check it out. And I think, you know, there was some good stuff and we fucking, you know, definitely got into some fucking Wu-Tang Clan. And I mean, it's what Chris said. It was a lot of the New York scene. I know Chris likes Snoop, which is, I think, more to West Coast thing. And
I just remembered one other band that I used to listen to. I haven't listened to these guys in a long time, but I used to love fucking Swollen Members.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That was some fun stuff there.
At the time, it was good, but now, like, I don't know if you've listened to it recently. No. Like, it's not good. Like, don't even bother. Like, it's just going to make you sad. Like, you listen to it now, it's like, this isn't good.
I don't know, probably not, but I remember liking it.
It was back then, like I was in college when they were like big, so it was awesome then. But now it's just like you listen back, like it's not.
Was that the We Notorious? Ain't nobody can bang.
I know
with
that.
Us.
No, like, no. That's Cardinal Fischal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's that's not even Cardinal Fischal. That's actually what's their name?
Like Chuck Clair is in that.
Yeah. Well, all the Canadian hip hop guys were on there.
Man, it was
Cardinal Fischal. What's their fucking name?
Dude, I love that band. Somebody needs to look this shit up.
The Northern Touch.
The Northern Touch is the name of the song, but I don't remember what the fuck.
What's their name?
Like, that was huge.
I have that album. I have that album from that band. I just can't remember the name.
Rascals.
The Rascals. Rascals. Yeah. So Rascals, Karen Elf, to this day, I still listen to this song. This song is amazing.
That's a good track.
This song is fucking amazing. Thanks for sharing.
Trash that.
That's a good local hip hop guy from back then. It was DL Incognito from Ottawa.
Okay.
Oh, so if anyone wants to like go back into the catalog a little bit for local, DL Incognito.
Nice.
Okay. Fucking, we enjoyed Shad out of Toronto. Fucking great lyricist. I saw him live by fucking accident because I was living in Toronto at one point and fucking went out for breakfast and I heard there was a live show going on, so just fucking went and checked it out. Fucking Shad pops up on stage and starts doing the old Prince still lives at home. Man, what a track. And so it's kind of like a fucking takeoff on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like the title track. Mm-hmm. So he has the loop and he plays it backwards and he fucking raps over that about like how fucking poor he is. Now he still lives at home and, you know, like rap is not what you think it is. He's a very intelligent lyricist. And I think he's, you know, now I think he hosts a show on CBC or something like that. But, you know, during the early days, fucking wicked rapper.
Nice.
Nice. I'd like to go somewhere.
Welcome
else.
To Metal Minded, the hip hop episode.
No,
it's not the first time it happens. It's not the first time,
but I like it. I like it. I like it. I didn't know we were gonna go this deep into the. Fuck! You just said the Rascals, man. I'm so popping that album when we're done. Fucking love that. I got two or three albums of them. They're so good. Are you guys, I don't know if you still is, but you guys worked in pest control, but are you still working in that?
So it's just me in pest control, and I'm still in it.
Like, yeah, okay. So can you describe to us the worst day in the life of an exterminator?
Oh, God.
We get
pictures from Chris sometimes while he's at work. And holy fuck. Like, I mean, you know, we can't be sharing these things evidently, but...
I've been in units where, like, you know, 10,000 bed bugs, like, literally, man, are just like... You know, like this thick on a bed, and this
really
like a whole mattress is black from bed bugs and the bed bug feces, like roaches everywhere. Like, you know, just like you get like Hoarders, you know, the show Hoarders.
Yep.
Yeah. So like, that's nothing, but like compared to shit I've seen, like I've seen really, houses that bad, but like then add roaches like on top of that, like you kick like a piece of garbage, you kick anything and it's just like 100 roaches will scatter. Right, you pull a fridge and just like 500 roaches like scatter from behind and just like.
I'm getting chills from what you're saying.
That's man. Like I don't see these units daily, but like at least once a week I'll walk into a shithole. Like,
oh my god! Because a friend of mine, she was living in a building apartment and the building apartment had roaches, but they didn't treat all the floors, so they treated just. The places that there were roaches, so there was always been some, and she had and she's, you know, she's a, let's put it this way, she's a clean person, but but once she started having some, it was a fucking shit show. So I can't imagine a place like a Hoarder, how fucking terrible it should be, because they kind of
the problem, because they don't, like sometimes it's a mental health thing, right? So they don't even know how bad it is, and then but like you need to find those in a unit in a building, because that's the source, right? And then they'll just spread to everyone else. So it's
like there's characters and stuff, man. Like they don't want to let you in.
Yeah.
And shit, you know, or it's just like, oh, it's not a good time for me. Well, you know, sorry, but like we're here now, right? So I mean, I don't know. We talk about it, obviously. That's not the thing that I do, but it's a hell of a business, I guess.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the band instead of bugs here. As a band, what's most important to you guys? Like, is it the image? Is it the quality? Is it the live shows? Is it making albums, new products? What is number one for you guys?
I mean, I guess everything to an extent. But probably for me, like just the music itself would be number one for sure.
Yeah.
And then like followed by image and just like having a theme. Cause like the theme is super important because no one else really does it. And that's kind of what makes us stand out. Right. Cause like I know like, you can listen to our songs and like, it's decent or whatever, but like, we're not really probably standing out just from the music. Right. So like, that's kind of where the theme comes from too. Like if we're not going to punch through just the music, like at least the theme and the look and like the logos and stuff, that should like at least get some attention.
Exactly. Hey, I have to say something. My dad's in the chat right now. And he just said that in the 80s, he used to go see like shows like Led Zeppelin at the old theater in Vanier. There used to always be shows every Friday night. And back then people would be like smoking inside and all that stuff. So nice. Pretty cool stuff.
Oh man. Like I just, it's a kind of a common thing to say, but I just, it seems like a fucking way better time back then.
Yeah.
It's just more relaxed, you know, you kind of do whatever the hell you want and all that, and
more cocaine.
Well,
I still have my dad's old Led Zeppelin flag. Wait.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
It's right there behind. It doesn't show on the podcast, but I just have to move and right there it is.
Yeah.
So let's go to you, Vito, for that same question. What's most important for you in a band? What's the number one thing that you want to project or that you feel is most important?
I think, you know what, it sort of depends on the day or on what the hell I'm doing. I think if we're talking specific to fumigation, it's a very nice, you know, objectively, I don't want to sound too cold, but it's a very nice package. You know, Chris kind of mentioned that there's the theme, there's the image to it. You know, the music is it stands on its own, obviously, but it's kind of a nice little package, right?
Yeah.
You bring that around and, you know, people have not seen this usually. I'm sure there's other bands that are doing similar things, but it's nice that you're able to catch people's eye because, you know, Fumigation, it doesn't sound like a death metal band name. You know, when you look at the logo, it's a little bit death metal. It's not like anything I've ever seen. You know, the songs are solid. We've got a pretty good fucking lineup right now. I remember the last show we played before COVID hit was a hell of a show. I mean, you know, people really, really into it.
Immolation, eh?
I think it was Immolation, yeah.
You guys fit the bill, obviously, with Immolation. Yeah. It just fits, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, me personally, I tend to overthink things outside of Fumigation, outside of, you know, whatever the hell else I do musically. I tend to really overthink things and, you know, precision and technicality is a thing with me. Being clean about, you know, the product that you're putting out is a thing with me. I'm kind of a sucker for theatrics. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's cool. You know, if you're doing some photos or if you're going up on stage on, you know, uniforms and doing that kind of thing. I think, you know, I'll kind of stop it there, right? Because all of those things are important, right? But that's what immediately comes to mind.
All right. So we were talking about bugs and nasty stuff that you see daily, but let's talk about, let's flip this around in the same fashion, but with shows. So we've seen our share of shit shows and great shows. So let's share stories. What's been one of the worst Fumigation gigs of all time?
Oh, were you in the Montreal?
Oh fuck, yes, I was. Were, I yeah, but you know, I'm gonna let Chris take it while I collect my thoughts.
Oh, fucking man, like,
I don't fuck. You know
what was it even called, man?
Dude, I don't remember. But I'm not sure we should really say that because, yeah. Like, it's a fucking. I don't. It's like I said, you know, with the Vanier shit. I love Vanier. I really do.
Yeah,
and I had a cool experience living there, but it's this business, man. It's like you said, it's very incestuous and it's difficult to really shit talk somebody. I don't really want to do it, but I can't anyway because I don't remember the name of like the fucking fest, man.
Oh, let's God. Just say like the show was supposed to start at a certain time. We were supposed to play in a certain spot, and it started way earlier than it should have. We played way earlier than we should have. We were on a different stage that we should have, with like no one there at all, man. Like zero people.
It was really like, we showed up,
there's two stages. One was supposed to be like more of a metal stage, one was supposed to be more of a punk stage, and yeah. They put us on like the punk stage on top of that, and just like nothing worked at all. It made no sense. Like we did, it was just the biggest waste of time.
Man, like we showed up and there was no, it's true, there was no audience, but the reason there was no audience is like the place, it was kind of like a cow's cut.
Mm-hmm.
It started before it even was supposed to, man.
Like, yeah. So they're like, yeah, just set up your shit over here. Like, we didn't know who the fuck we were talking to or anything. And there were people coming in and getting like, you know, eating their fucking poutine because it was a restaurant, right? Like,
and then leaving because they saw us there. It's like,
and then like there was one guy, I saw him, you know, I was like, I need a fucking beer. So I went up to the bar and I got a couple of beers, and there was a dude up there and he was into death metal and he kind of sort of felt the vibe and he's like, oh, what are you guys up to? And I kind of explained it to him, and he's like, well, I have to go because I'm with my daughter, but you know, I would have loved to stay and watch. And so, fucking check us out online, man. I mean, we all play bad shows. It happens. It's not like a fucking, you know, I don't take it home with me. It doesn't haunt me or anything like that, but
I'm haunted,
dude. I have fucking and I'm not shitting on the crowd, but like, I've never seen such a bad crowd in my fucking life.
Well, it's just like, not there. It's just like,
well, and the people that were like fucking annoyed, right?
Yeah. They were there for the punk show and you were the death metal band.
Yeah. And then like, we were about to fucking take off, and one of the bands, I guess the one that was up after us, was from New Jersey, and you know, they were real nice guys, and one of them didn't have a fucking speaker cable, and he's like, well, can I borrow one? Like, I didn't have it within me to say no to him, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, we're ready to leave and just flip tables.
And then Chris comes up and he's like, let's fucking go. And I'm like, yeah, but that guy has my cable. Thinking back, it was like a fucking $20 cable. I could have just left it, but you know, I didn't. And Chris was like, well, fuck you, Vito.
And like, I'm not the type, well, like, none of us are the type of guys to just like leave a show early, right? Like, we don't like that. Like, you try to stay, like, support the other bands, like, support the whole show, right? But like, yeah, not that one.
That was a grind band anyways, so I think, you know, the set was about 20 minutes and they played like 50 songs, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's funny. Well, let's go on the positive side. What's one of your favorite gigs that you guys have ever played with Fumigation?
Well, Immolation, just because like I love Immolation, so yeah, seeing that was cool. Like, it was good. Ruin the Randall's fun as shit.
Ruin was so
good. We played with a bit abyss.
They're fun guys.
Vaginal Addiction.
They're funny as shit. Vaginal Addiction.
Pretty cool, super fun
show. Like, awesome crowd. Just like good scene. Like, good vibe. Like, just fun shit, man.
Some of the, you know, I was in Fume early on, and there's this one fucking show, and like, I have the entirety of it on my hard drive at home. Sometimes I'll fucking pop in and watch it. It's a bit, you know, it was a long time ago. So like, you know, when I pop it in, it's a bit depressing now because, you know, I've got, look quite a bit younger, you know, and it's all, look, it was a wicked show. It sounded fucking fantastic. The energy was great. You know, it was a bunch of fucking young guys.
Was that the Revocation show?
No, it wasn't a Revocation. It was like a local show. Back, listen, I don't want to shit on the metal scene. It's certainly quite a bit different than it was. But back then, man, you'd fucking put on a show and you'd barely have to do anything. People would just show up. Like, and you'd charge $5-$10 and you'd make money. So we had sort of, you know, way back, you know, 10 years ago or something like that, maybe a little bit longer. And it sounded great. It felt great. Everybody was fucking into it. I remember at one point we had some fucking bugs. I was eating bugs on stage.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was eating crickets on stage. You know, the set went off like a bomb. Everybody was really into it. So that was like way fucking back then. But
we did a bunch. We did a few times though. Like, I think you ate bugs on Revocation too.
Maybe, yeah. So I mean,
One of our early shows at the Uqua. In Hull.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I played at Uqua with Mortor with Signs of Chaos.
There you go.
That was a wicked that was a fucking wicked show,
we
man.
We played with they weren't called Deformatory back then. They were called like Tuolma Sock or something, but it was us and Deformatory, right? Yeah. And that was like both of our first shows maybe.
That went off really good.
Yeah.
It sounded good. The energy was fucking good. Everybody was into it.
That was a cool place. Like, it's super small, but it's just like, it made it look like there were like 1,000 people there.
Yep. I know. There was like 50 people and it felt fucking packed.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was all your friends too. Like, you know, you'd walk out in the crowd afterwards and it's not even like an ego thing or whatever. You know, we wouldn't even talk about the set, but you walk up and talk to anybody, they'll just fucking talk to you about whatever. Like, it was nice, man.
Yeah. And people go on stage to go to the bathroom. That was nice too.
Oh yeah, it was funny. Right? People had to go up on stage to go to the bathroom. Yeah.
That was perfect.
But yeah, Mortor's first show was Uqua also. So,
but the Rouen was fucking legendary.
And it
took a while to get there, sure, but you know, we had a great time on the way up. Yep. Fucking jokes, you know, a bunch of hip hop in the car.
Yeah.
And when we got there, it was fantastic welcome. You know, they had a fucking case of beers for us. You know, there was a dressing room, there was a fucking shower. Not that any of us shower, but it was there. And dude, like, I mean, the venue was fantastic. The promoter was fucking phenomenal. I don't remember her name, which is unfortunate right now, because she's just a wicked person. Wicked yeah. fucking person.
I think I know who you're talking about. I don't have her name either, but I've heard of who it is in Rouen.
Yeah.
Super cool.
They had a crazy metal scene for a long time over there.
Oh my god, man! Like, it's just like, I know COVID took them down. They're gonna come back though. Yeah. Like, and Abit Abyss was fucking just absolutely outstanding. Great stage show. Wicked guys. We went back. We fucking partied with them. They put us up, man, in the drummer's house. Fucking nice house. Like, just you know, really, like, the worst part about that was fucking Chris waking me up at 8 a.m. to go home, like, you know, like, because everybody was partying so hard, you know, and these fucking guys were going until like fucking 5, right?
Yeah.
But wicked vibe down there, man. Everybody is so fucking nice.
Nice. I'm gonna go with another question for fun, right? Because I always enjoy having the perspective of the artist about their own album. So on this album, each of you, which one is your favorite track and why?
I think I like Fly That You Fear the best, track 2.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of incorporates like everything that is Fumigation into one song. Like, just like the mid-paced, groovy, like kind of outro, right? And then it's just like the heaviest fuck, kind of like slammy headbang riff near the beginning. Like, after the pause, it's just, yeah, man, it's just good all the way through.
Very nice. What about you, Vito?
I'm kind of a Vanity Check Union Inspection is a short one, so it's kind of an odd one to really pick out. Yeah. My kids love it because there's a roach on your neck. So we've been, you know, if we're in the car or whatever, and I happen to be bumping that, and it's like, can we hear it again? Yeah, okay. There's a roach on your neck.
Nice.
Centipede Stampede is really good. That's probably number 2.
That was just gonna say, like, yeah. You know, that aside, like, Centipede Stampede, that's kind of my thing. It's very straightforward, you know, the beat kind of fucking catches you and it doesn't let go. So that's kind of my jam. Yeah.
And with that track, like, I wrote the lyrics for like most of the songs, but for that one, I was listening to a lot of hip hop at the time, and like, I wrote the lyrics kind of with like hip hop in mind. So I actually wrote it like a rap. And like, but when I had like, when I told, like, you know, the guys like had to do vocals, like, don't actually rap it, but like, you know, like, do it metal style, but just so you know, I wrote it like a rap, just to like, just so they can understand kind of how I was coming up with it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a cool vibe. Yeah,
just like, also, the title itself and the concept of it, like a centipede stampede, and that's a lot of feet, you know. So
yeah,
like, it's like a cool fucking thing to sort of, you know, come up with.
Or, and like, yeah, it kind of sounds like a stampede too when you're just listening to it, right? Like, just fucking heavy.
Dun, 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 dun.
Awesome.
Nice. Hey, we're almost done, but I'll show you my second beer that I the gift.
Yes, Cinquième Baron.
Wait, I actually I forgot to text you, Yolin, but I actually worked near Cinquième Baron Friday and I bought everything they had.
Oh yeah,
you should have texted me. There's 2 beers I wanted. Well,
I probably have them in the fridge.
You're a horrible human being.
I know. Well, that I know. You don't need to tell me that. But anyways.
Yeah. Next podcast, Yolan goes solo.
If I went solo, it would look like shit and sound like shit. Simo does all of that, and I would look terrible and sound like shit.
Well, you still look terrible, but you look beautifully terrible.
Exactly. Like, it's fluffed up.
Simo's
a good fluffer.
Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, well, time flies by, but I think it's time for the question bonbon.
Yes. Pin question.
Yeah. I went easy on the guys today. Okay. I usually finish the podcast with a, I call it the question bonbon, which is like a candy question or whatever, if I can translate it. But
that's
sometimes
a shit translation.
Yeah, it's a shitty translation. But,
it's not, though. That's what it is.
Yeah,
but it's not always like that. Sometimes it's kind of like a curveball and people get caught off guard. But actually, I went easy with you guys. Okay, so I actually have 2.
And I might have a third one. I have something funny that I wrote down.
Oh, well, I do have a funny one too. So do we finish with both our funny questions?
Sure. Go for it. Start with the more serious one.
Yeah, well, serious-ish. If you could resurrect a musician, which one would it be and why?
Well, that is serious, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, the guys are like, oh, fuck.
I mean, look, it's to me, it's hands down Randy Rhoads. I'm a fucking Randy Rhoads nerd. My first electric guitar was a Jackson RR3. Yep. Just Diary of a Madman. I think, you know, it's probably my top five songs of all time. The album itself is quite good too, right? But just the new classical feel of it, it's been always something that resonated with me. Always will. It's carried forward into other bands, you know, like some of the technical death metal, Spawn of Possession. Like, I really fucking like a neoclassical vibe. And I mean, to me, like, this was the fucking guy that invented it. I love me some Randy. I always will. And that's my guy, man.
Nice. It was the anniversary of his death this week, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
40 years.
Wow, yeah, dude, really? Like, eh? Yeah, that's it. I mean, he died in 1982. I was born in 1982, you know, so.
There you go, man. Spiritual successor. What about you, Chris?
I'll give like two answers.
Yeah, it's all
right. One is.
No, you're not allowed. Stop.
No, I will. So one, like Simon, you'll know, and just because it's so recent, is Bob Shaw.
Yeah.
CDN Records. That was bad news, man. That's tough. He was such a good guy, man. Like, he would help anyone. He was, like, so friendly and chill. So that was pretty devastating to hear about that.
Yeah.
So shout out to Bob Shaw.
Hey, cheers.
Fuck yeah.
Raise your glasses. Cheers, Bob Shaw.
Besides that, let's say Jimi Hendrix, man. Like, I like the old Hendrix stuff, and, like, it'd be cool, like, for him to come back, like, kind of at that age, right? And like seeing Hendrix live would have been amazing. That was probably a trip, man, for people back then.
Just imagine, you know, like the Stones are like Rolling Stones, they're all alive except for the drummer. So imagine Jimi Hendrix not dying when he was 27 and still be alive. How fucking stupid crazy it would be. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Is B.B. King still alive?
No,
I don't think so.
No, it was like fucking, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago.
Kind of thing. At least 5 years ago, maybe more. I think he died the same year that Lemmy died. Is it?
Oh, Lemmy? No, because Lemmy was fucking 2020, man. When,
No, 2015.
No, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2015. Okay, same year.
B.B. King died in 2015.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, 2015, the year Icons died, man. There was
Lemmy. And Lemmy.
There was Lemmy. There was, what's his name there? David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember
even on social medias, I would see memes of people like, stop, like, like, God, stop killing our idols or something like that. You know, like, there was like almost like 15 artists, very, like, you know, good artists that died that year. Anyways,
Lemmy was sad, man. That one kind of hit home. Yeah. I was never like a huge fucking Motorhead guy, but, you know, it was just,
He was like, a king. He was a king amongst the metal and rock fans.
Yeah,
just an institution, the guy. Like. Yeah.
And still down to earth. Like, even though he was still going to the local bar, you know, he had his little seat. He'd had this, you know, Jack and Coke or whatever.
I read a story recently about, you know, I don't know if you like power metal, but like the lead singer of Sabaton was at a bar with him, and he bought Lemmy a double fucking Maker's Mark because he knew Lemmy liked Maker's Mark. Lemmy came over. He didn't know who the fuck he was, but Lemmy came over and, you know, said thanks for the drink and started up a chat, right? And he kind of said, well, you don't have to do this, you know, like, and he said, well, you bought me a drink. The least I can do is drink it with you. And he says to Lemmy, well, what if I'm an asshole? And he goes, I can drink real quick.
This guy was the best, man.
Lemmy stories are like,
gone. Yeah, I've got a really good one that we'll talk about after the podcast because I don't know if it's 100% true, but it's a very good one. So I might record it for after podcast. We'll see. But
we'll see.
We'll talk about it. I'm just telling you so you remind me so I don't forget.
Go for your second one, man. Second question.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking. Okay, no, I said, I was like, Chris said there's two answers. I was going for mine. Okay, my funny one. If yourself would resurrect as a rodent or an insect? Which one would it be and why?
As a what? A
rodent. As an insect or a rodent.
Oh, fuck.
I guess it would have to be a rat for me. Not because, like, I'm down with rats, you know.
But because they're resilient motherfuckers.
Because they're big rodents, right? So you'll be big, so you can fuck people up. And, you know, you just kind of hang out in dumpsters and eat garbage and, like, you know, fuck bitches. And whatever, right?
That's all right. Yeah.
So technically a rat is the metal head of the rodents, I guess. Sure. he's like the Mötley Crüe of rodents.
Wow.
And for you, Vito?
I got an answer for you. I would be a cicada.
Oh, a cicada.
You come out every, what is it, 19 years?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
So you're just like, most of the time you do fuck all. And then you come out and then you're loud and annoying as fuck. And then you take off. So that's me, dog.
That's good. Yeah, you're doing your podcast appearance right now and we won't see you for a few years.
You won't fucking see me for a long time.
He's not allowed over for like 2 months now.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. I love it. But my funny question was similar to yours, Simone, so I'm not going to ask that.
Oh, okay.
After all
that, man.
It was too close to it. Okay. So I won't go there. Okay. But that'll be pretty much the end of the interview, guys. But don't run away because we're going to continue drinking after this and we'll continue shooting the shit and have fun. But before that, I'm going to announce everything metal-minded for the week. Obviously, we've been talking about it and talking about it, and we're almost there. Friday, yep. Metal Minded in Your House, number 2, live stream of a bunch of fucking awesome bands that recorded their shit. We're gonna stream the shit out of that on Friday night. We're gonna drink, we're gonna party, and maybe even have an after party after all of that. Just Zoom after party. Let's have fun, guys. Please invite everyone. Share that fucking event. We worked really hard. We want to have as much people as we can. And seriously, support all the bands. Like everything. Just go around and make love to everything that's in that festival. So check that out. Friday, 8 rendezvous on YouTube, on our channel. It's going to be sick. Next up, reviews for this week. My two fellow reviewers that will be with me are Jean and Felix, our buddy that's in China. He loves to come in when he has the time, and this week he does. So nice. We're going to be reviewing the new Chemicide, the new Agato Daemon, Blackened, and Schizophrenia. Crazy fucking week. A bunch of crazy stuff. It's going to be super awesome. And podcast for next Sunday is a band I reviewed at the beginning of the year. I love these guys. They're on our Metal Minded in Your House festival on Friday. The guys from Regress. Crazy aggressive death grind. It's super insane, super fun. Check it out and come check out the episode on Sunday.
The two tallest guys in death.
Yeah, the Nucciarone brothers. They are fucking awesome. I saw them when I went to see Cryptopsy in December before everything shut down for the fucking 100th time. And I was chilling with Nick, and he's a cool dude. So come check out the episode. It should be a blast. But the Nucciarone brothers won't be there. It'll be the other two guys. Obviously, thank you guys, Fumigation. It was a blast. It was super fun. I enjoyed talking with you guys. And I always feel good speaking in English because I don't do it very often. So it's always
good,
fun.
Good.
Don't run away after the podcast. We're going to drink beer, shoot the shit, and tell crazier stories that you weren't allowed to tell live.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If anyone in the chat or on YouTube or your best friend wants to join in, send them the Zoom link that I have sent you guys, and they can join in and shoot the shit with us on the after party. So thank you guys. Last words are on you. Go for it.
Merci, man. On apprécie, grand man. We love you. Fucking right. Metal Minded. I mean, we're going to talk to you after, dude, but it's a super chill vibe. I had a fucking great time. You know, I'm sure that Chris did as well.
Right.
Big love, man. Big love.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you to everyone in the chat, and see you in the after party if you want to. Cheers, everyone.
Salut.
on est bien content que tu aies écouté jusqu'à la fin et que tu es encore là. Fait que va donc voir nos sponsors, donne-nous un petit like, un petit subscribe, va nous voir sur notre page Facebook puis notre groupe, puis tu vas avoir bien du fun. À la prochaine!